I had to be out here where it was the scary possible getting sick and all of us dying, but we had to do it.
That is the voice of Saul, owner of Calvary Market, a family-owned neighborhood market in Ontario. I spoke to Saul as part of El Sol's three-part series titled Life Under a Pandemic. In this episode, we take a closer look at the life of an essential worker and the impact COVID-19 had on a neighborhood market. Let's get started.
My first time in this market, and mm-hmm. I saw there's a lot of homes around it.
Oh, yes.
Would you say that's a very community-based market?
Yeah. I mean, my family, that's my mother over there, they bought the market here in 1981.
Wow.
And this market, I know, has been here, like, since the 1930s. So we've been here for 40 years. So, you know, we've been seeing families generation after generation and such. And so, yeah, it's a lot of it. There's some commercial here, but it's mostly homes. And so it's mostly families. And so we see a lot of the customers, which are just singles or families, and they just come in. So, and it's mostly Latino in the area right now, but we have all flavors, I guess,
right.
You could say.
And right. You guys have been here for a while, but I'm sure like you have never experienced such a thing as COVID-19. You know,
no.
It's been a year since we've been mm-hmm. under some like strict restrictions.
Right.
How was your experience here at the market when it first started?
Well, you know, back in March when everybody started panicking right. and buying everything up, we had those 2 or 3 days where they came in and just emptied out my store. And it's like, what's happening? It's so crazy. People are just buying everything up. And I usually have my store very nice in stock and extra stuff in the back. But, you know, they started buying up all the rice and all the beans and all the pastas. Everything was just going and going. It's like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. So then you kind of put two and two together. It's like, oh, this is what's happening. But my shelves were all emptied out and stuff. And then, you know, we started hearing, you know, people are dying, people are getting sick, and we don't know how it's happening. But yeah, we have to come in here and open. We have to be
right.
here dealing with people, and we don't know how people were getting, how this was being transmitted and stuff. And so at that time, it was very disheartening coming in every day. It was a stressful idea, a stressful environment, because you'd come in and it's like, oh,
right.
you know, we're going to get sick or we're going to die. My mother, she's in her 70s, you know,
right.
and my employees and such. And then in April, I got sick. So
okay.
then I had to leave for 24 days. I was off of work, and the store we had to close for about 2 weeks, roughly 15 days,
mm-hmm.
while everybody tested, everybody was negative, and we cleaned and all that stuff that we had to do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they did, because I couldn't. So my other family members had to come in and help. And so, yeah, those were the early times, the more difficult and scary times. And now I hear people talk about, it's so lonely, you know, we were locked up for months and months in our bedrooms, like our apartments, we couldn't leave, we couldn't go out. And it's like, I'm on the other side of that I had to come
right.
out, I had to be out here. So I was on the other side, it's like, okay, my social didn't change. You know, every day I was still in the same hours, I was
mm-hmm.
still here, I still had to do everything, I still had to go buy merchandise. I still have to go into the stores out into LA to buy stuff and bring
right.
back. So I have to be out there where there's, you can get sick and you have to go out there and do it. And, you know, so I had to be out there. So I didn't get that lonely, secluded, and locked up thing
that
because
thing.
I couldn't
mm-hmm.
be. I had to be out here where it was the scary possible getting sick and all of us dying, but we had to do it. So we were on the other side of it, and I'm listening to people like, oh, now we're coming out after a year. I haven't been able to do anything for a year. It's like,
no,
I haven't been able to stop for the
right,
year.
Right.
I wasn't able to. You know, we weren't able to. We
mm-hmm.
had to when I got sick. And then, you know, I got well and, you know, and got unsick, but not well. It took a while for that. But you have to come back when you're still not
100%. Right. Because sometimes I think we focus so much on, like, how the community is being affected that we sometimes forget about, you know, the workers that are
mm-hmm.
in the community.
Yeah.
And then has anyone besides yourself, did anyone else here employee-wise experience
mm-hmm.
that
yeah.
the symptoms and everything?
My cashier, she was sick too, so she was out for about 3 weeks. So we had to deal without her. When I got sick, my other cashier quit. She said, "Oh, I can't go back, you know."
Right.
She got scared, I could understand, so she quit. So then I had to deal with one less employee than me being out. And luckily she was okay during that time, so they were able to continue working.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother came in to help, and my son was helping here a little bit too at that time. Yeah, you know, and I had already made these shields before I got sick, I had already set up the shields and some of the stuff so that we can be safe. But
it would be hard. I mean, it was like at the beginning. It was just so much beginning. Demand.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, and there's so much to learn and stuff like that. And
I think we can tell how much like the community relied on you guys, like even from the start, and even now I think nonprofits like Isol are relying on you to like be able to come into the communities and spread the information about the vaccine and about COVID.
Yes,
I know you have a close connection based on what you've been telling me to the community. What did you see for next steps for us to get over this pandemic? Do you think you just sending out more information about the vaccine, or do we still need to have more sessions with the community about like their concerns? Where do you think the community is at with that?
I think that right now, because I ask people all the time, hey, did you get vaccinated? Mm-hmm. Did you get your vaccine already? It's like, oh yeah, I did. But a lot of people say, no, I didn't. I'm afraid. I'm not sure. I don't know if it's going to be okay. I don't know if there's going to be any side effects. I'm not sure if I should do it. You know, so I get a lot of that from people. And also, I don't know how. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to set up. Where do you go? How do you get the appointment and stuff, and I go, well, I did it, and I tell them, and I've written it down many times. Here's the website. Go there and set it up. I've actually sat here with people on my phone. I go, come on, we're gonna do it right now. And I've encouraged my employees. They've done it with people too. You know, they'll go, come on, we'll do it really quick. It takes 5 minutes. You know, mm-hmm. And we've helped people to just get the appointment and get over there and go and do it. You know, and, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So I think that's a big hump. That people not sure about the vaccine and how safe it is, mm-hmm. how to set up an appointment, where to go, you know, and then also they've come up, it's like, can I do it? You know, and they won't say why, but it's obviously because they're illegal immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yes, I go, don't worry, they don't ask you that. You know, that's not a problem. So mm-hmm. I think that's also scary for some people. It's because, like, you know, the government, I'm going to tell them who I am, my address, and then they're going to discover that I'm illegal.
Right.
You know, they don't say that, but it's very obvious because, you know, you know who is and who isn't, mm-hmm. in some cases.
Right.
You know, I just by speaking with people and being here 40 years, you kind of get that feeling, you get to know that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I encourage people, no, don't worry about it. That's not what it is.
Right.
So I think those aspects right there, I think, are very important still to kind of get that out and something like what you guys did was very encouraging for a lot of people.
The taping events.
Yeah, and giving out that information and just letting them know. And you know, it would be great if there was a way that you guys could, let's set you up an appointment. You know, let's get you an appointment.
Right.
That would have been awesome, you know, if you'd have been able to. Obviously, that's difficult to do and be close to people and stuff. But, you know.
But, I mean, that's a good way to, like, improve on our side. Because mm-hmm. I think it is something that we can do. Because right now, we just started working with, like, Kaiser Permanente and Loma Linda and having those vaccines out.
Yeah.
So we have those vaccines available. And I think in the future, having those taping events with those appointments ready would work.
A few weeks after my interview with Saul, community health workers at El Sol Neighborhood Educational Center started scheduling appointments for COVID-19 vaccines at a local swap meet. This was done as an effort to increase access to vaccines in hard-hit communities. This episode was brought to you by El Sol Neighborhood Educational Center. To learn more about our three-part series, please visit our website at elsolneg.org. Until next time.